In the name of Jesus, amen. When you read a passage like we just heard, it all seems so clear, doesn't it? How great God is. What a remarkable thing He did, bringing the people out of Egypt. Whenever you look, as it were, backward, it all seems so self-evident. Obviously, it was going to happen that way. I like to put myself sometimes in a different part of the story. Say about year 276 of the 400. I suspect it looked a little different then, as you were pounding the bricks out. Or take the Mel Gibson movie of The Passion of Christ. It all makes sense, doesn't it, when Jesus falls to the ground under the burden of his cross and bloodied and bruised, looks into the face of his mother and says, "I am making all things new." I suspect were we a Roman soldier and had heard that, we would laugh out loud. It's nuts to think of a bruised and bloody Jew about to be hoisted on a cross as making all things new. What's so self-evident about that? And indeed, when Jethro speaks to Moses, he says, "Now I know that God is the greatest of all gods because he brought his people out from Egypt." What actually had God done? He sent a man. He sent Moses. And I suspect if Moses could appear before us right now, say right there, I don't know, but I'd be a little surprised if he wasn't relatively small. I bet a lot of you guys are bigger than Moses. God sent a man. That's what he did. And looking backwards, there is praise and there's liturgy and there's a meal. God is the greatest thing, the greatest God. What he did was to send a man who said, "Let my people go." Because as the text says, the Egyptians were dealing arrogantly with God's people. There will come a time when you will find people being dealt arrogantly with. That is to say, by the old foe, because he's going to say, "The people are mine. They're mine. And I will do what I want to with them." We call this fear, anxiety, sorrow, death. The old foe deals arrogantly. But God will do what the greatest of all gods does. He will send a man. And we are happy also these days to add deaconesses. And their mouth will be the mouth that speaks joy and peace. He will send a man. And his mouth will be God's mouth. And his hand God's hand. And the people will be led to the holy mountain, such as Hebrews speaks of it in chapter 13, to the holy mountain where the New Jerusalem is. Looked at from this perspective, being sent can't seem so remarkable. I've almost got 30 years. I look back and I suppose the most remarkable thing is that I'm still here. But I suspect in his own way, God's doing great things. At least in the 30 years I've been here, something like, 2,000, 3,000, just like you, out in the pulpits, in the churches, speaking about a man sent, and he didn't seem great. The best thing about Mel Gibson's movie is that Jesus doesn't seem great, except he doesn't move from his mission. And it's a hard mission because he's fighting real enemies. Unbelief is a hard enemy. Sin is a tough foe. The will of man is a wily enemy. That's why I hope as you study, you also learn to pray. As you become more knowledgeable, you become more humble. As you become pastors and deaconesses, you become servants. That's how God works it, you see. All the images in this place about God, here it is. There's one over there. Here's another one on the altar. They're all the crucified. That's what God looks like, you see, when he wants to do good things to man. This is the image of man without God. It's the image of God for man. That's why we have his image like this here. We want to keep before our eyes who it is we're talking about. In some way that Jethro and Moses and Aaron and all the elders could never perhaps contemplate as they before God ate a meal, was that there would be a meal of the Son of God's own body and blood. Where it wouldn't be before God, it would be precisely the body of God. So that the bodies of those who eat and drink of the body of God might themselves be images of God. So speak of him and live according to him and think according to him and sing according to him. And if in some measure the course of study that you now undertake here in this place assists you towards this, then as far as I'm concerned, we have done our job. And if along the way you help us also to become more like that, you will have done yours. Because above all, we're a community of saints who give a common praise out of a common confession. And in that, there's a dialogue and a speaking toward one another that bears holiness and goodness. So I ask the blessing of God Almighty upon our teaching and upon our learning, that we never think we're talking about things, but that we always know we're talking about the God who is as he is for us, Jesus, crucified, made humble, made poor, made lowly, that we who are lowly and poor may be as he is, righteous and good. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.